but held edge on and hit coins tossed in the air. I'd been in awe. Willie had sniffed and slouched in her seat. The woman turned back to the performance without uttering a word. "Are you saying you're as good as Annie Oakley?" I asked Willie. "Put a cigarette in your mouth and let's see if I can shoot it in half." I lowered my gaze to her waist, hidden beneath a masculine jacket and waistcoat. "Please tell me you left your gun at home." "Call me jealous again and you'll find out." I rolled my eyes and turned back to the show. When Willie got like this, there was no talking to her. Unfortunately, she wasn't in the mood to be ignored either. "Annie Oakley ain't bad," Willie conceded. "But this," she pointed her chin at the cowboy and Indian theatrical, "this is just a play. It ain't real. It ain't even close to being real. It seems to me the riders are really riding, and the Indians look real from here. The program says the wagons are even the same ones used years ago. It's a cliché." "Clichés start out as original. Besides, that doesn't mean it's inaccurate. The true Wild West ain't like that. Perhaps not anymore, but it must have been years ago. Before your time." She swore under her breath. "It's overdone, India. Created for folk like you who are wet behind the ears. Does it matter? It's entertaining and interesting. Now be quiet. You're ruining it for me."
"And for me,"
the woman in front piped up. Thankfully, Willie obliged. She even climbed out of her sour mood to watch the reenactment of a buffalo hunt, complete with 16 real buffaloes. It seemed she'd finally grasped the enormous scale of the production and appreciated how difficult it must have been to bring so many people and animals to England. "Buffalo Bill is an incredible man," I said after the final applause faded and people rose to leave.
"I know dozens who can shoot like him," she said.
"I mean, to organize a show like this, you have to admire him for it."
"I suppose I do. Can we get a drink now? I'm as thirsty as a lizard in the desert."
I wanted to see the rest of the exhibition first, but it was easier to keep Willie satisfied by obliging. We left the arena, stopping at the first refreshment bar we came across. Unfortunately, so did many other spectators who'd been watching the Wild West show.
"There's too many people," Willie whined.
"I can't do anything about that," I said, joining the end of the queue. Willie, however, walked off. It would seem she wasn't too thirsty after all. We crossed the bridge over the railway line and entered the main building. It was filling up quickly with ticket holders who'd come from the arena after the show. I wanted to take my time and look at the displays of American products, but Willie wasn't interested. She walked right past the whirring sewing machines and didn't even glance at the noisy printing presses. I, however, paused at the paper-making equipment. Mr. Hendry, the paper magician, had created his paper by hand, using the traditional method of soaking rags until pulpy. Of course, he improved the quality of his paper by infusing magic through it. This paper felt thinner, the quality poorer.
"Isn't it great?" asked the salesman.
"Very nice," I said, moving on. Willie had disappeared. She couldn't have got very far, but I could no longer see her amid the crush of people. I might look for her all day and not find her. When I did find her, I'd wring her neck. She was as bad as Matt's aunt, Miss Glass. No, she was worse. At least Miss Glass had the excuse of her age and mental infirmity. Willie had no excuse. She was simply selfish. We must have stumbled into the machinery section of the exhibition. The clanking, stamping, and grinding of American ingenuity filled every stall, as well as my head. I was surrounded by noise. I forged on until I came to the end of the aisle. Up ahead were two pavilions. The sign out the front of the right one said Art Gallery, and the left, Dining Saloon. Willie was no art lover. I pushed open the door to the saloon and spotted her sitting at a table with two men. Somehow, in the short period of time we'd been separated, she'd found someone to play cards with. She'd never leave now, going by the gleam in her eye.
"There you are,"
I said, joining her.
"Shh, I'm thinking.